esteemed, effective, and effectual pastor of this church. Pastor Donald White. And it's lovely and nice on the inside and outside. Lady White. Mark Pisler. Sister Montana. It's just good to be here. Now, I want to make everything clear. I didn't come to really preach. Because my pistol is not starving for good preaching. Because you have in Pastor White heaven's greatest holy tissue.
Amen.
So I know y'all being taught and preached to. I really just came to get to have a good time.
Amen.
Amen. I had a good time. Now I would, you know, that's the protocol is that when the preacher is visiting, he says something good about the person he visits.
Like, I can't pay for all that, man.
And you know, I would, and if I listen, and if I didn't really believe what I'm saying, I would be retaking my text, my scripture right now.
All right.
Well, he has proven himself to be a true friend.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I gotta give him that, you know. When he came to me, he reached out to me. He said, Doc, we the new kids on the block.
All right.
I didn't really know what he meant by that until I see today.
Yeah.
He got his third, and I'm coming on my third.
Amen.
Glory to God. He is just a down-to-earth pastor.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he tells you something to help you out, I just love him. So honey, he's reached out to me.
Amen.
I really appreciate that. That's right. I appreciate that. You made me settle down in my calling.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. I thank God for you.
Amen.
The best is yet to come for you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, yes.
And here's a word from the Lord.
All right.
That is it.
Amen.
So for a short while from my assignment this afternoon, I want you to turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 16. I got two portions of scripture. I might read a little long, but I'm going to read short. I know I had a long week. I know you're weary, but hey, it's worth it because you got a good man here that needs to appreciate it.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Kings chapter 16. I'm going to shine a sermonic spotlight on verses 30 to 33. And I also want you to find 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Amen. We got 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 30 to 33. And 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Let us pray for your prayer meeting, please. Lord God, have excellence your name in all the earth. We thank you, Father God, for such a time as this. Once again, oh God, we stand behind this holy roster. We cannot do it. We cannot preach or teach it by ourselves. But we ask you, allow the Holy Spirit to come on in. Exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, be here for an auspicious occasion as this. This is your called out man. They know this house, Father God. Allow us to say what you have for him to hear, to encourage him, Father God, and help him through this walk with you. Father, we know you predestined him already for success. Father, we know that the enemy is busy, and we have let him know it ain't over until it's over. Father God, bless him. Bless his word. Use me in spite of behind the cross. But Father, allow him to see you and not me. Allow me to preach that heaven gets happy and hell gets upset. Speak, Lord, for your people.
Yes.
1 Kings chapter 16, beginning at verse 30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him, to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidons, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all of the kings of Israel that were before him. Chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook called Cherith, that is before Jordan. Are y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee
there. My God.
All right.
So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that's before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning,
right,
and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Did I say the brook dried up? The brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I like to put a tag on this text that should bring this our conversation today back to your remembrance. Pastor White, the drop is over.
All right. Amen.
Amen. The drop is over. My brothers and sisters, let me say at the onset that no matter who you are, where you are from, wherever you receive your sustenance or resource, there will come a time when your brook will dry up.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Come on here, preacher.
Life, unfortunately, has been designed with a peculiar cosmic chaotic character. Life with divine construction guarantees that the brook will dry up.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Life, unfortunately, guarantees a minute of drought, a moment of famine, and an instant of insufficiency. There's a moment in our time that our reservoir of resources will be drained of all vitality. Brooks will dry up. Jobs will disappear. Businesses will close. Relationships will explode. Marriages will shatter. Your health will deteriorate. Children act out of their minds like they lost their minds. Anything that is temporal will dry up in your life.
Amen.
The preeminency of our brook is only a mystical manifestation that has migrated to our minds. Because of our meaningless meditation and materialism that seems to function within the mental aspects of our brain.
All right.
To walk deeply into my God-given spiritual dialogue, let's look at the text and examine the ministry of the greatest prophets of that time, Elijah. Elijah just burst on the scene, y'all. There's no pre-announcement, Dr. White, no childhood story. He just shows up in the palace of Ahab and of the hand-picked husband of Jezebel. This Tishbite from Gilead says to Ahab, God is tired of your mess. You are a wimp. Spineless, sorry, no good for nothing king. Are y'all with me? You are worse than your father. And your father's father before him. You think it's a trivial thing to sin against the Almighty God. Let me hang on right there. Ahab marries an Afro-Phoenician woman, not because he loves her, because he wants to expand his territory in Palestine. Ahab places more value on his political status than his spiritual status. Because of his policies and his wife's beliefs, he leads the country into downward spiral into Baal worship. Elijah tells Ahab, because of what you are doing, spiritually there will be an ecological disaster in the land. God told me to tell you, because of what you are doing and who you are worshiping, there will not be any dew or rain in the land according to my word until I say so. I know you would think that after reading the text that Elijah's first assignment was to go to Ahab. No, that was his first instruction to carry out. God now tells him after he has followed the instruction, watch me, y'all. You now have your first assignment. I'm going to send you to the brook called Kerith. You missed that. God tells the servant, I'm sending you to the brook called Kerith Ravine. That's right. God tells the servant, I'm sending you to the valley. God tells me to tell you, Mount Pisgah, I have to send you to the valley before I can place you on the mountain. If you can handle the valley, now I know you can handle the mountaintop. If you can handle the valley, you will appreciate the mountaintop. So that when you get to the mountaintop, you won't think I celebrate you, but you will pray and worship me on the mountain. Y'all not getting this. See, some of us want the mountaintop, Pastor White, but we don't want to deal with what God has for us in the valley. Mountains are made for looking and listening and worshiping. Valleys are made for walking. God sends us to the valley to teach us how to walk through the difficult times that Satan has demonically designed to come our way. Because the first thing God wants to do when we reach the mountaintop is to give him some praise. All our testimony should be the same. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because God was with me. If it had not been for love on my side, where would I be? I would have never made it. Let's go to the valley where we find Elijah by the brook called Kerith. In the Hebrew, it's translated, the word Kerith is translated to cutting place. God tells Elijah, go to the brook, and I will send some thug ravens to hook you up. Elijah had it good in the valley. The thug ravens gave him 5-star service. Here, God's first meal on wings. Bread in the morning. Bread and meat in the evening. You look at me all strange. Wondering why I'm calling these birds thug birds. You know why? Because they prefer to keep food for themselves. Bird watchers will tell you that when you find food, when ravens find food, instead of taking it home to their baby, they'll hide the meat in the cracks of the rock so they can eat it themselves. Y'all some thug birds.
I wonder why the chicken they put in the rock.
The Levitical law said that Elijah shouldn't even have been dealing with some nasty ravens anyway. It was against the Levitical law. They were unclean birds. Don't you never mess with God when he says something to bless you. Don't you get too holy on your high horse and think that you can choose who God will bless you with. God got a way of rewiring the ravens to bless you. He'll have people bless you and build houses. He'll have people hook you up, Pastor White, that want to take you out. I don't know what I'm preaching to, but God told me to tell you that's why he has you in the valley. Where the people are that the world wants nothing to do with. That's why you're in ministry like you're in my pistol.
My Lord.
God wants you to deal with people nobody else wants to deal with.
Wow.
Say, deal with them.
That's
you don't need the church people to come to church anyway. You want the unchurched so you can tell them how to be in church.
All right. Amen. Come on.
Yeah. All of us got some thug raiders inside of us.
All right.
Let someone say the wrong thing to us. Let someone do the wrong thing or act the wrong way.
All right.
That thug raver will raise up on the inside of us. But the text tells me that Elijah's in the valley doing as God has instructed.
Yes.
Pastor White, sometimes we just follow God's orders.
That's all right.
And we're in the valley and the brook will dry up.
That's all right.
What's up, God? What's up with that?
Well,
all you have to do is drink from the brook. Why move?
Well,
all they have to do is sit there and let the birds bring in flesh in the morning and flesh in the evening. Why move? Why transition from that level to the next level?
All right.
Sometimes we get too comfortable. Pastor trying to get us to the next level. Amen. But no, we so stuck with that level because we're comfortable. Guess what? If you want to follow God anyway, you don't want comfortable.
All right. Man.
You got to be like the church of Israel. Live with your bags packed like nomads. They kept moving around in circles. God said, you ain't want to follow if you want to be comfortable all the time.
That's right.
I'm always trying to get you to the next level.
Yeah.
The text tells me that after some time the brook dried up.
Yeah.
Sometimes God will allow your brook to dry up.
Well,
so that he can get you to move from your position of comfortability.
Yes.
Did I just say that? Elijah says, what's up, God? You told me to come to the brook. Now you let it dry up?
Well,
God says the only way I'm going to get you to move to your next assignment is to make your current position uncomfortable.
Wow.
Because if I don't make you uncomfortable, you'll stay right there and you won't move. Matter of fact, you'll cease to pray a whole lot. Can I help you? God will teach you how to pray.
All right.
Amen.
God taught me something when I asked him, God, why do you have to dry the brook up on the line? I asked God, why do you have to dry the brook up? Elijah was an obedient prophet. If you told him to go, he would have said, Lord, send me.
Yes.
God said, Clive, you forgot. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith.
Amen.
Yeah. I called y'all to lead my people.
All right.
Wow. Don't press me for that. Just do what I say. Don't try to figure out what I say do. Just do what I say do.
All right.
I said, Lord, it's late. Get late. And I know I got to study because I'm coming to see Pastor White. I can't be half-stepping. But please share this with me because I'm getting sleepy.
All right. Come on.
I'm a little slow. What are you really saying? God, you're going to speak to my heart, Pastor White, through the aid of the Holy Spirit. He said, son, all my children are like drought-resistant plants. I said, drought-resistant plants. I said, what do you mean, Lord? I said, all plants need water to survive. He said, drought-resistant plants, they know how to survive through the drought.
All right.
Yeah. I stuck, and so what I did, I had to get etymological. I had to study some plant life.
Environmental.
I studied some drought-resistant plants. They can go without water. I'll return to take this out. But they don't become drought resistant until there's a drought.
All right. Come on.
Y'all are killing me.
My Lord.
It's some stuff on the inside of us, inside of those plants, that is not activated until they begin to go through some drought situations. Some stuff is on the inside of us that we don't know that God has deposited on the inside of us, but we don't know until God allows, He don't do no evil, He allows a circumstance and situation to approach us. And once we got to deal with it, because they don't put no more on us than we can bear, He allows us to deal with it, and we begin to deal with it and handle it in the name of Jesus Christ, covered in the blood. We rebuke every demon that's in our face and say, speak to my hand. Drought-resistant plants have, if that is, they have, Pastor, we we as drought-resistant plants have deep roots.
All right. Come on.
We're not like surface plants that the roots grow close to the surface. They always need water. I say, don't water your lawn all the time because it, when it gets dry, it won't survive. Water it every night and then so the roots go deep. What your roots supposed to be hanging on? These roots that we have as drought-resistant plants have, we know that God said, He'll never leave us nor forsake us.
Never.
We know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. When we have deep roots, we hold on to something that said, all things will work together for the good.
Yeah.
For them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose.
All right.
Can I get a witness?
Amen. Amen.
We know that the battle is not ours. But it's the Lord.
All right.
We know that the Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we be afraid of? That brings me, Pastor White, to the theology that backs up my topic. The drought is over, Pastor White.
Yes.
You remember the vision that God gave you for the church. There's been times in this 3-year period. Did I say 3 years?
Yes, sir.
It's not a mistake that we've been called together for these 3 years.
All right.
Can I hang out right there for a minute? Let me get in relationship with God, the number three with God. God, the number three with God shows us that God is divine in all Himself.
He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yes. It reminds us of the triune God and that He sovereigns. That means that He super and super reigns.
Yes.
That means no power supersedes Him in this number. I'm excited about the number is that in this number three, Pastor White, it shows the number of increase.
All
right. That means God is bringing you to a time in the ministry that is getting ready to expand. Everybody ain't going to be able to handle it. Because you will start getting fat around here, and then some people get uncomfortable. Some people can talk ministry to ministry starting to get fat. And guess what? And you ain't paying attention to them that much no more. And so many other people coming and you pay attention to them, they get upset with Pastor. But God said, don't worry. They got to get off the milk and get on some strong meat. Drop resistant plants.
Come on.
That's not the only thing you do. Because you got people in the church, they're strong people.
All right.
They're like drop resistant plants.
Yes.
But they're a special kind of drop resistant plants. You know, like Mother, you know, the type of plants they are. You have some plants in the desert. Their leaves are big. Watch me
down. Come on.
They shade the other animals and plants from the sun. They're a drought resistant plant. The other plants are not. But because they are up under the other, that drought resistant plant, they can find some shelter in the harsh conditions of the desert. Y'all ain't hearing me. You got some drought resistant plants, they bear fruit. They can't eat their own food, but the animals eat their fruit. And they can survive in harsh situations. You know where you are in the ministry. You need to let yourself be that drought resistant plant. Don't be stuck up on yourself. Spread your leaves and let them weep. You have to bear the infirmities of the weak. God tells Elijah, go down to Zarephath and see the Afro-Phoenician woman. That sister will hook you up.
Yes.
You know the rest of the story. The meal and the cruise on, y'all know that. That just will not run out. The drought is over, my bishop. Everything you've been asking for is going to come through. I didn't say that to sound good. God gave me this. I feel this in my spirit. I know it. And guess what? I'm speaking it into the atmosphere so you can claim it and receive it. And once you claim it and receive it, God said you can decree it. And once you decree it, God said, because I am God, I must show up and fulfill it. Pastor White, just keep praying. Keep serving. I know sometimes you get frustrated, but keep serving. Keep it. The job is over. God's not had you by the blood cross carry. But guess what? This is your third year. Now you're going to year number four.
All right.
You're year number four. Number four in God's truck. And number four, that means you're supposed to come into bigger things and larger things. That means that God's going to show you and give you an insight on what I got for you. Praise it. I'm going to give you walks in the middle of the night. Just a little while longer. Sister, why keep praying? Pastor, why keep praying? The drought is over. Can we get over this in here? You said, well, Pastor, you said all that, but you didn't tell us how to survive the drought. Well, as I go to my seat, excuse me, it kept me long enough. I didn't mean to keep it so long, God. But let me tell you, do you know how precipitation is formed? First, there's heat that rises up from the earth. Now, can I get a witness in here? And the heat meets with cool air. In the air, meaning that clouds will form. Don't get upset because the clouds are getting to form. Because if the clouds form, there's going to be a little rain. Can I get a witness up in here? Come here, Elijah, talk to me. Elijah say, told the servant, go look and tell me what you see. Do you see any clouds? He said, no, I don't see none. He said, go back and look again. He went and he said, I see a small cloud the size of a man's hand. Don't you worry about small beginnings, Pastor Pitt. God gonna hook it up. He's getting rid with the drought. And everything's gonna be all right. The temptation is formed. Clouds form. It begins to rain. God said, I told you it would rain on my word.
All right.
He said, but you got my word. You're my servant. You are my word. Call my word. Lean on me. Lean on me and remind me what I told you. I know what I said, all but right. I like when you remind me who I am and who I am. I'm a God that got to be propped up in my life. I'm a